Thankful this morning to be able to say from my heart that I know something about that freedom that comes from Jesus Christ. Thinking about that bird that was let out of prison and how all of us in life can feel the load of sin and care, and how Jesus comes to bring deliverance, and how we can just shrug off by the grace of Jesus Christ those fetters and weights that hold us down, and we're able to be free in Jesus. Not because of our own works, not because of my own righteousness, but because of the blood of Jesus. And He's so good and He's so faithful to us. Thankful for that. I'd like to write the title this morning on the board. I'd like to start this morning in the third chapter of Ecclesiastes and read a few of these verses. Maybe for the sake of time, I will paraphrase them a little bit. Ecclesiastes, the third chapter and the first verse, says, "To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the sun. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which was planted, a time to kill, to heal, to break down, to build up, a time to weep, to laugh, to mourn, to dance, to cast away stones, time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, a time to lose, to keep, to cast away, to rend, time to sow, to keep silence, time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace." And I suppose that the writer could have gone on and on and on. Time to rear a family. Time to go to work. Time to come home. Time to get up. Time to sit down. On and on and on. And in every single one of these instances, the time to every purpose, the time for every purpose, it comes and then it goes. The time comes and then the time passes. There is a time for, that's what it says. There's a time for it. The right time for it. But it doesn't always mean that we take advantage of the time that is given to us for these things. It's the time for it, but it doesn't mean that we take advantage of the time. I've written on the board stewardship of time. And a couple of Sundays ago, we spent some time on the subject of stewardship. And we read from the 12th chapter of Luke. I believe we started at the 15th verse. We won't read that again. But it was the parable of the rich man, and that the scripture tells us that this was a man that was not rich towards God and to other people. He endeavored to be rich for himself. And sadly, one day the Lord came along at a time unexpected and knocked on his door. He had great plans to steward his resources in a certain way. And the Lord called him a fool. And he removed all things from his stewardship that day. And required that he give an account to the Almighty. I'm impressed this morning to continue with the subject of stewardship, because one of these days the Lord's going to come along and it's going to be my turn. And He's going to knock at my door, perhaps at a time very unexpected, and He's going to call me to give an account of my stewardship. Maybe a little bit of review. We talked about some of this, so I'm going to go over some of this quickly. What is a steward? A steward is defined as one that has been given the care of something that they don't own. Remember, something is given to me, but I don't own it. But I've been given the responsibility to manage it. And who is it that owns the earth and everything that is in the earth? It's God. It is in within God's hands to allow all that is in the earth to remain, and it is in His hands to cause it to go away if He chooses. He's the owner. He has all of the oversight. He is the creator. And so stewardship goes well beyond this. How much of my stuff will I give to God? It goes beyond that. It's rather, it is how will I manage His things that He's entrusted into my care for His good and His glory and His purpose. And that is very different. It's a very different concept than what is promoted in the world, because our very lives are His, really. I didn't create my life. Did you create your life? I didn't. The scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, 19 and 20, and I won't get it all just exactly right, but it says, do you not know that you're not your own? You yourself aren't your own. You belong to Him. And because of that, therefore, glorify Him with your life. Glorify Him in your body and in your spirit. And then that verse has a couple little words that are tagged on the end, almost to reinforce a very important point. It says, which are God's. So glorify Him, not just in spirit, but in your body and in your spirit, the whole of your life, because they're God's. We wrote some things down on the board last time that God entrusts into our hands to be stewards over, categories of things, and maybe I'll write those quickly on the board again. The first one was time. He gives us time to be stewards of. He gives us talents and gifts. God does. Gives each of us talents, and He gives us gifts, and He gives us these things to be stewards of. He gives us possessions to be stewards of, for His honor, for His glory. He gives us relationships and influence to be stewards of. You have relationships with people. You have influence with people. And He gives those things to us, sometimes as gifts, to be stewards of. And there's more than these five, but these are what I'm impressed with. He gives us the gospel to be a steward of. We clearly don't have time to talk about all of those things this morning. Last week and again this week, my burden is around the category of time, and maybe with time we'll be able to spend some time on these other items. Time is something God Himself has given us to be stewards of. And it is the one gift that God gives in equal measure to every person. Doesn't matter if you're rich, if you're poor, if you have, if you don't have. It doesn't matter how well known you are. It doesn't matter what season of life you're in, whether you're in a really busy, occupied season of life, or if you're not. It doesn't matter what your physical condition is, if you're able or if you're not able. The Lord, in equal measure, gives everyone the same amount of time. And it's the one gift that, once spent, can't be taken back. You can't get it back or redo it. Money can be lost, you can regain some money. Possessions can be lost, you can go buy some more. You can even mend lost friendships. But once time is spent, it only moves in one direction. And then it is gone. And it seems like that often we think in terms of, at least I do, but do I have time for that? You know, each day comes and it comes with choices. And so sometimes the way that our minds work is we look at this thing that is presented and we say, oh, well, I don't have time for that. Because you see, we're already plugging up the limited amount of time we have. And so then we look at this thing and we begin to evaluate it in terms of, do I have enough time for that? Is it just me that does that? Do you do that too? And maybe sometimes, though, a better question or a better way of thinking about it is, am I being a good steward of the time that God has given me? Instead of, can I fit this thing into everything else that I already have planned and on my schedule and where my heart is? Maybe a better thing is, Lord, help me to manage the time that you have given me in a way that you would be pleased with, which means that there may be some adjustments that need to be taken place. Because I think that thinking about it that way doesn't only touch on our time and our space, but it touches where our heart is. And that's what God wants. God wants your heart, and He wants your time and your space. He's looking for that all. And last Sunday, we considered the fact, we talked about time last Sunday, and we spoke about the fact that God often doesn't need you to have more talent. The Lord is not up there wringing His hands saying, and I wish He was more capable. I wish He had more talent. He just seems like He doesn't have the wherewithal to do it. God is not limited by our talent. We limit Him by the degree by which we give Him our heart, and we limit Him by the degree by which we give Him time and space in our lives, which He gives us stewardship to manage. So I'd like to pause at this point and ask and consider, what is the meaning of time? Have you ever just tried to define for yourself what time means? We're all acquainted with it. I mean, we all are familiar with the word. What is time? A flow of moments. Time represents the flow of moments, of incidents. Time represents, embodies the past and the present and the future. Is time a system of measure? Maybe time is a dimension. And maybe you have some things that you think about when you think about time. But time didn't come about by accident. Time is a creation of God, not of man. I didn't create it. God created it. And he didn't have to. He's outside of time. God is eternal. He's before time and he's after time. Before Abraham was, I am. Isn't that what the scripture said? But he created it to be used by us. And it has an end. And our lives have an end. But our soul doesn't. Time is a temporary dimension. If you will allow me to express it the way that it comes to me. Time is a temporary dimension that God has entrusted to us to glorify him, to fulfill his purpose in life. If you're a math student, we all have been math students at some point in time. This is X and Y axis, two dimensions. And we operate side to side, up and down. And then there's also this third dimension that goes into the board. So these X and Y, they go up, down, side to side. And then there is this third dimension into the board. And that's, we live life in three dimensions. So there's that dimension. And then there's this thing called time. Time. And this is space. And God created space. And then he created this dimension called time. And he put us in the middle of it. And God is somewhere out here. He's outside of time. He dwells in dimensions that we don't dwell in. So he's out here, and he's also willing to come in here. And he created this dimension, this time and this space. He's over here. He's eternal. We are here right now. And he created this as an opportunity for me and for you to make decisions with a primary purpose of us having a part in his kingdom. His plan to further his kingdom with other people that are in this space. And then in the end, how we manage this, how we steward this time and this space has a lot to do with the reward that he gives us in the end. And so it's important. It's important to me. I guess said another way, this represents opportunity. This represents opportunity in your life where there's a time for things. There's a time to respond in a right way. There's a time and space that God gives us to make decisions and to take action in a way that tends to life and not the absence of life. And it's, as I said, it's sobering to me, because do you know what else this becomes? This becomes a measure of our faithfulness. Our stewardship of time becomes a measure of our faithfulness. I'll say that again. God created time, He created space, and He put us within this time and space that is passing. Because of that, it represents opportunity. And it is opportunity that has eternal consequences. And He gives that to us, all in equal measure, time and space. And then it's going to pass. And it has eternal consequence. So I want to take it seriously. Ephesians 5 and 15, I'd like to turn there, read a verse. Galatians 5 and 15. It says, "See then you walk circumspectly." Because of this, and the fifth chapter of Ephesians defines specifically in so many ways. People want specifics. People say, "Well, give me some specifics. How am I supposed to live? What exactly am I supposed to do? How does God want me to live?" Well, the fifth chapter of Ephesians gives you some very specifics of what it means to be a good steward of your time, and we won't read those today. But we've been given opportunity to live this way, and so Paul is saying, "See then, given that these things are true, walk circumspectly. Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of God is." So Paul says, redeem the time, because the days are uncertain. This is passing. It's not guaranteed. It's a gift. It's been entrusted to us. We're given time and space for a time, and then it goes away. And sometimes within time and space, there are windows of opportunity that pass by our way, maybe to reach out to a Lazarus at our gate, to somebody that comes within our sphere of influence, and then they pass on and they're not there anymore. And those things pass, and yet they're opportunities that sometimes have long-lasting consequences. And so the days, when it says the days are evil, they're uncertain. They're not guaranteed. Stuff can happen tomorrow. Therefore, the time, the gift that you've been given, use it for good. That the present and eternal consequences, again, tend to life and not the absence of life. You've heard me say before, and I didn't coin this phrase, but there's this phrase out there that says, "Show me your checkbook and your calendar, and I'll show you your heart." Have you ever heard that? "Show me your checkbook and your calendar, and I'll show you your heart." Well, I don't know that a checkbook and a calendar can really completely show your heart, but the point is that is trying to be made that. That time is one of those things. How you steward time, your stewardship of time, and your resources. But that's not this message. It's a really honest indicator many times in ways that other things aren't. How do you spend your time? What is important to you? People that. It's pretty hard to be faithful to God if you're not faithful with time. It just is, because we live in a time-space world, and if we're not faithful and good stewards of time, it's hard to be faithful to God. So the question lingers. The question hangs through life. How are we using our time? What consumes my time? What distracts my time? What is deserving of my time? What's deserving of it? What are my devotions? Do you remember when Paul was on Mars Hill? Do you remember all those idols that he ran into? Do you remember that? He went to Mars Hill and he saw. And the reason I bring that up is because in the scripture, it refers to it as devotions. They were idols, but it refers to it as devotions. And so it captures my attention. Because he went there and these people, they had all these idols lined up and were arranged somehow. And they were all idols to all these different things. And remember, that's where it said it was to the unknown God. And one of them was to the unknown God, and he used that as an opening to teach them about the one true God. But I put myself there, and I see all of these idols that have been erected, one to this, to the sun, and to the moon, and to the fields, and the fire, and to all kinds of things. And they call them devotions. And we say, well, I don't have idols. I don't do idols in my life. But we have devotions. I like graphs. If this is time on this side, and this is devotions on this side, I might have this in my life. I might have that in my life. This is a bar graph. And then maybe I have a little something over here in my life. And I have maybe this in my life. And this in my life. And we say, well, those aren't idols. Those are just, it's just how my life's made up. You know what? There is no way any single one of us in here can put more on here than 24/7. That's it. We only have 24 hours in a day. We only have 7 days a week. And you can only put so much in here. And so a challenge for me, not just for you, but a challenge for me is, what are my devotions? What are the devotions that are part of my life? And when I think about stewardship of time, and I look at this, that takes this much time, this takes this much time, that, and we all live in life. God created it that way. We've got to work. We have to sleep. He created us to eat. Those are going to all be things, you know, that consume. But be that as it may, the reality is, did you know that your life can be charted? go to some of these manufacturing plants and it might be charted. That's the sort of thing they do. What's going on with you? What's going on in your life? Your life could be charted. And God knows what it is. He knows how you steward time. What consumes our time? What distracts our time? What's deserving of our time? It gets pretty close, doesn't it? It does to me. Maybe not as close to you, but it makes me really take pause.
When I think about this,
but it's helpful to come face to face with. Time is intended to serve us as a wonderful tool to help us grow spiritually. It's intended, time and space is intended to help us reach other people through our lives. Time and space is intended as a gift of God that we might bear good fruit, that we might nurture good relationships, that we might be a light in this world. And therefore, Paul said, redeem the time. And the 90th Psalm, which my Bible says that it's a Psalm of Moses, it says, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Teach us to number our days. Well, what does that mean? It means, Lord, help me value each individual day and be approach it with, and I know we use these words are used a lot in the world today, so for some good reason, that we be intentional about each day, that we be deliberate about each day, that we approach, that we number the days. It's not just this mass of things, but no, it's this. It's a limited commodity. It doesn't just last forever. Therefore, approach it with some purpose. That it said that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And what's wisdom? Well, the scripture tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so if the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and wisdom is what I want, and we're supposed to number our days and manage time and space in a way that pleases God, then it is going to influence what this looks like, where my devotions are, how I live my life. See, it all starts to come together, doesn't it? This is the plan of God. This is how He set it up. Time is not our enemy. Time is not our master. Time is not intended to be a burden. Time is a precious gift. Time is a wonderful opportunity granted to us by God to find life and to share life. And so in closing this morning, a challenge to us to consider, is it possible that God is maybe calling us to steward time differently? In your walk with Him, your family, your habits, your practices. Your relationships. Is it possible that the Lord might be saying, you know what? There's some greater value if you would steward your time differently. The scripture tells us that in the last days, men will be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And so I want to be aware of that when I look at how my devotions fit into my life and how they fit into time and space, that it's in such a way that when God looks at it, I don't get put in the bucket. There is one that loves the pleasures of life more than they love God and His plan. I can't add time. I can't add space to my life, but I can make some decisions on how I use the time that God has given me. We have just a couple minutes left. I want to give a little note to the mothers this morning. Maybe I'm wrong, but I wonder sometimes when a message about time and use of time is preached, maybe I start off and I write on the board, stewardship of time. And I'm not a mother, I'm a father. But if it happened that I was a mother, it's very possible that before anything ever gets started, I would have these feelings of, oh my goodness, time. I don't have any time. We're going to talk about how I'm supposed to spend more time on this or that or the other. I don't have any more time. I am full up. My cup is at the top and it's overflowing. And you can talk about anything you want, but I don't have any more time. Some of our mothers homeschool their children and they take care of the house and they try to take care of their husbands. That can be a full-time job sometimes. They try to take care of themselves, which lots of times falls to the end of the line because they're taking care of everybody else. And so when you hear a message like this, you could go away and be more discouraged after you leave than when you came. And I want to encourage you with this. First of all, mothers, motherhood is divinely appointed and is God's work. You're doing God's work. And in that busy season of life, you're not always able to fit in some of these other things that may seem like what you're supposed to do. Go out into all the world and preach the gospel. I can't even get out my front door. You have the world in your living room. That's what God has given to you in that season. Think about it like this. Perhaps you don't feel like you have much more time and space to do anything different. But I recommend this: lift up your spirit to God. In the midst of motherhood, lift up your spirit to God. And He'll bless that. He'll give you the increase in that. And if you're here today and you say, my spirit is, I don't feel like I have any emotional bank account left. I don't even know how to lift up my spirit. Tell the Lord that too. And He hears the cries of His children. And He cares. And He will give the increase to those whose heart leans towards serving Him. God bless you, mothers. To us all this morning, stewardship of time is very spiritual. It has eternal consequences. And I know that the topic can be sobering because there's always opportunity for improvement and so much pulls on our hearts and our lives. But it's a reminder that it's actually a wonderful gift that God has given to us. And that as we look to Him as our shepherd, not as a taskmaster, but as a good shepherd that cares about us and loves us, He'll help lead us into life and how we steward our time. This morning I want to be faithful to seize the opportunities that God sends my way by His grace to honor Him with the stewardship of the time that He's given. Let's be encouraged this morning. Amen.